Some time ago when I took this subject with our young people's Bible class, I wasn't at all sure whether they were finding it very interesting, as there are quite a number of verses to look up. But afterwards I heard that they had enjoyed the lesson, so I hope you will find it interesting too. We are going to turn first of all to the Old Testament to see there the perfection which was necessary in connection with the animal sacrifices. I hope you all have your Bibles ready then, and will turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus is the second book in the Bible, and I want you to find chapter 12. Exodus 12. This chapter tells us about the Passover feast. And it comes just after we are told about the plagues that came on the Egyptians because they would not let the children of Israel go. After all kinds of plagues, frogs, flies and so on, which should have been warnings to them, the Lord had to bring upon them the dreadful plague of death. For every Egyptian family lost their firstborn. There was not a house where there was not one dead. Now the same could be said of the Israelites. There was not a house where there was not one dead. But it wasn't their firstborn sons who were dead. It was a lamb instead. So let us look at our chapter, Exodus 12. I'm going to read verses 3 to 13. Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now you see, it was either a lamb or a man in every house. One or the other died. But the important point for us to notice, in connection with this subject, is the condition of the lamb. Verse 5. your lamb shall be without blemish. They had to take it on the 10th day, verse 3. In the 10th day of this month, they shall take every man a lamb, and they were to keep it, verse 6, until the 14th day. So they kept it 4 days, didn't they? And during those 4 days, they were able to keep an eye on the lamb they had selected and make sure that there was no blemish anywhere. Also, do you see how the lamb increased in importance? First of all, in verse 3, it is called a lamb. In verse 4, it says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, and verse 5 says, your lamb. So it changed from being merely a lamb to being the lamb, and then your lamb. It was to become more personal, of more importance to those who selected it for the Passover. Will you turn now to Leviticus chapter 1? Leviticus is a little farther on in your Bible. Leviticus chapter 1. And we'll read the first 3 verses. And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Again, you see, it was to be without blemish. And verse 10 says the same thing. Verse 10, and if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it, a male, without blemish. Or turn to chapter 3, verse 1. Leviticus chapter 3. Verse 1. And if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be a male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And verse 6. And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. Or turn over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 3. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he hath sinned a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Or verse 23, same chapter, verse 23. Or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male, without blemish. Or look down to verse 28. Or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. Or verse 32. Verse 32. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish. So you see, in every case, the offering had to be without blemish. There are more such references in Leviticus, but we can't stop to look them all up now. So let us turn to the next book, that is to Numbers. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers chapter 6. And verse 14. And he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year, without blemish, for a sin offering, and one ram, without blemish, for peace offerings. You see, whatever the animal, and whatever the type of offering, it still had to be without blemish. Or turn with me to chapter 29. Numbers 29, verse 13. Chapter 29 and verse 13. And ye shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, and 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish. This time it's not just one of each kind of animal mentioned, but several. But it made no difference how many animals were offered. They still had to be without blemish. Well, to sum up, let us turn back to Leviticus again, that previous book. Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus 22 and I'm going to begin reading at verse 19. Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind, or broken, or maimed, or having a wen, or scurvy, or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut. Neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. They couldn't just offer anything. It was no use saying, this animal isn't any good for anything else. It's a poor thing, but it will do as an offering. No, that just would not do. One reason was, of course, that it's quite wrong for any of us to give God our worst, or even our second best, in any sense. Whatever we do or give to him should be our best, for he's done so much for us. But there was another reason why these offerings had to be without blemish. They had to be perfect in appearance. Now, the animal sacrifices for sin had to be made time after time. Because the people sinned time after time, and the animals were not really a completely satisfactory sacrifice. But it was the only thing they could do. Now what about us? We sin time after time. And what can we offer for our sins? We haven't been asked to offer up animals, but our sins must be dealt with and forgiven somehow, if we are ever to be pleasing to the Lord. So what's the answer? Well, I think you know, don't you? Those animals died instead of those sinful people. And who died instead of us? The Lord Jesus Christ. He died instead of us, didn't he? Now come back to those animals again. They had to be perfect, didn't they? They could only be perfect in appearance. That was as far as they could go. But what about the Lord Jesus Christ? Wasn't he perfect too? Completely perfect? Not just in appearance only, but in reality. Those animals were just a picture of him. But do you see now why they had to be without blemish? Before we finish, let us turn to a few verses about the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice for sins. He's called the Lamb of God. But let's read the whole verse. Turn to John chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 29. John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Or look at verse 35. Same chapter, verse 35. Again, the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Or will you turn to 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, that's near the end of your Bible. 1 Peter, chapter 1 Peter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter was speaking there of the precious blood of Christ, which was shed for us, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Or turn back a little way to Hebrews chapter 9, just a little way back in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, without blemish and without spot. That was true of the animals only externally, as far as you could see. But it was true of the Lord Jesus Christ completely, not only in appearance, but in reality. He was the perfect, sinless, spotless one. Thinking again of the lambs we read about at the beginning, first of all it was a lamb, then the lamb, and finally, your lamb. Now, is the Lord Jesus Christ merely a Savior to you? Is He the Savior? Well, that's better. But is He your Savior? That's what He wants to be. But only you can make Him your Savior by believing on Him. And I trust each one of you do believe on Him as your own personal Savior. There's just one more point with regard to this. If you will turn to the last book but one in your Bible, that is to Jude, right near the end, Jude, verse 24, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Present you faultless. I'm sure none of us feel very faultless, do we? But that's what he can do for us if we believe on him. Or turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, that's a little way back in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. There Paul speaks of Christ who loved the church and gave himself for it. And the word church there doesn't mean a building, but a company of people who believe on him. And it says, verse 27, Ephesians 5, verse 27, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Can you imagine yourself without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, holy and without blemish, not only as far as we can see, but perfect in God's sight? It's hard to believe, but God has said it, so we know it's true. That is what he has said concerning those who believe on him. They too are to be made without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish, even as he is. So now we trust each one of you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and so come to see what wonderful things he has done for you. Amen.